finding resources was a big thing for me because I realized going into this that there's no way you can ask or answer all of the questions that are going to come up. Like there's only so much you know to research. And so I was looking into as many stories as I could, doing a lot of Googling, trying to find videos about it. That's another reason why I continue to make the content that I make, because it wasn't there when I wanted it. Like the kinds of videos that I was looking for and more like the whole journey and the real story of it, I didn't at that time find anything like that. So I wanted to fill that void. But so yeah, YouTube videos, Googling forums. But the biggest thing for me was joining a Facebook group for amputees. They were kind enough to accept me before I was one. And a stipulation that my husband requested that I look into before making the decision. He's been super, super incredibly supportive, but was really hesitant when I started trying to make this decision, understandably so. He was like, you found a lot of stories of people where this went well, right? Where it was like a good thing for their life, you know, part of their body was so damaged or diseased or whatever that it needed to go, and they're happy now. But he was saying, you know, I guarantee you there are also stories where it didn't go well, and I need you to find some of those stories too.
Hey, everyone, welcome to another episode of The Socket. I am Van Tucker. If you're just connecting in, you may be wondering, hey, Van, what is The Socket? Well, The Socket is a podcast we started here at Saladi Health, featuring conversations with the global amputee community. Today, we have Jo. Jo runs this YouTube channel called Footless Jo. And with that channel, what she's done is she started the channel when she made the decision to get her amputation. She went over a 13-year period when she fell and hurt her ankle and then made the decision at 27 to get the amputation. And from there, she's like, you know what? Let's start this YouTube channel for my own little, make the story, share it, and make be good for my mental health and really kind of make it a more engaging experience. From there, she's been able to grow this channel and her audience to the whole global amputee community and also individuals around the whole world to really be exposed. So without further ado, let's really dive in with Jo and really learn her story and more about her journey with YouTube and her everything else she does in her everyday life. Let's dive in. Hi, Jo. Welcome to The Socket. Very excited to have you here today. You know, it is crazy times for us.
Yes.
And you're based in Colorado, right?
Yes, I'm out in Colorado Springs, and thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Nice. I know it's kind of the afternoon for you. So, how's your day been going so far?
You know, it's been a fantastic day. I went to my prosthetics office. I'm a right baloney amputee, and I tried out a running blade for the first time ever. So I'm on a super huge high right now. It's been a great day so far.
So, you were able to take it home today?
No, I was able to. It was kind of like the initial fitting where I could actually try out the blade and kind of bounce around on it and try jogging, and it went a lot better than I expected it to. So I got to wait another like 2 weeks to actually bring her home.
That is an exciting day, is to fit a running blade. So now you
Yeah.
get to go out and do more adventures. So,
Yeah.
with that, you know, I came across you initially on YouTube. So you know, I was exploring YouTube and like find these videos, and I really was amazed when I saw your videos because, you know, you got quite the following. So that's pretty awesome. But also, you
Oh,
put
thank
out a
you.
lot of content, you know, and it's like really fun and authentic. And you make, you know, you kind of divide it in all these different areas of like that's the typical like problems that people may have with amputation. So, kind of love to
Yeah.
kind of share with us the individuals that may know you, Jill. Like, kind of tell us about who you are and what kind of
Yeah.
and kind of your background, because that, you know, your podcast is incredible and I've seen a lot of the episodes on it. So I know quite a bit, but you know, a lot of our listeners may not
Yeah.
know exactly who you are, Jill.
Sure thing. Yeah. So I am. Well, I have a decent presence on YouTube. That's what I focus on. I really love making videos. But the reason I started that was about 2 years ago, I had to make the decision to amputate my leg because I'd gone through years and years of surgeries and pain and procedures and years on pain medications and things of that nature from a fall off a horse when I was 13. So I shattered my ankle pretty badly, which led to what 14 years of challenges. And by the time I was 27, I could barely walk. I was on so many medications, and it was just like, this is not remotely the kind of life that I want to live, and there's no hope of it getting better. So I'm going to take a huge risk, which was sufficiently terrifying, but I also felt like really was the right choice for me. And my surgeons were definitely on board, and we went ahead with a leg amputation. And it's definitely not been a simple journey. I had a fall pretty shortly after that first surgery, which caused a lot of issues. I had to go back in and have another couple inches taken off my leg about a year later. Wow. But now things are going really smoothly. And the reason I started making videos or started talking about all of this is I never gone through making any kind of decision like this. Like, obviously there are lifelong consequences to whether I keep my leg or not. And I was pretty daunted by the idea of making that decision. So I started making videos of just like me talking to my camera to kind of go through the thought process and, you know, voice it out loud. Because if I say something out loud and I want to make it make sense for other people, it starts making more sense to me. And so I recorded these videos as I was making this decision. And then I decided to publish them when I had made that decision. I was just like, you know, on the off chance anyone's ever in a similar situation. I was thinking like, no one's ever in that situation. Turns out a lot of people actually are. And then in recovering from surgery, I kept making videos. It was a great distraction, right way to get up and actually do something with the day and recover and focus and all that. And it's just kind of continued. I love being able to talk about adjusting to life as an amputee and the ups and the downs. I talk a lot about mental health. That's something that's really important to me. And yeah, so that's a little bit about my story and what I'm doing right now.
That's awesome. And what's the name of the YouTube channel?
Oh, Footless Joe. I probably should have mentioned that. Yep, Footless Joe. Not Footloose. People generally assume it's Footloose. It's Footless.
And you know, when I kind of created the name The Socket Podcast, you know, I went through all this research, like, what should we name? And then I started looking at all the other things. Like, how did you kind of come up with the name Footless Joe to make up for the YouTube? Because it kind of has a little kind of a fun angle to it, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you like it. You know, it honestly, I think initially when I wasn't really thinking of it as a channel, I was more just like, oh, I'll put some videos here. I think it was called Life After Amputation or something like that. But the more I did with it, I was like, no, I want this to be something that's just kind of more fun and more me. And a lot of people have pointed out I'm not technically footless. I do still have my left leg. But my idea with it is I'm down a foot, right? I'm less one foot. So I came up with Footless Joe.
You may call it a footless.
Yes, exactly. That would be accurate.
Gotta love the internet. People get very critical.
Oh, they do. They do indeed. I've had some people upset with me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's named now. So what am I gonna do?
That's awesome. And you know, with the YouTube channel, you kind of mentioned you do a lot of, you know, mental health, and you kind of make some of these videos kind of funny as well. Like, hey, So I was wondering, you know, how do you kind of go about making the video content that you come up with? Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, take an action to make the content's like the hardest part. So how do you kind of go about actually making content and being comfortable showing all these different things you do?
Yeah. So for me, I feel like my brain is sort of always working, always thinking. I've always been a somewhat creative person, and I found this outlet of making and editing videos. And I was like, oh, there's really something here for me. And so whenever I have a thought or an idea, or I'm facing something or trying to figure something out, I'll write it down, I'll jot it down for later, or I'll, you know, if I have the time, I'll just kind of start up my camera. I found that, you know, there's definitely a learning curve to getting comfortable talking about anything, talking about, you know, more difficult subjects or harder days. And even more, I think it's sometimes for me, it's a little nerve wracking to put out a video that I think is like fun or funny, because I'm like, well, what if other people don't think it is, you know? But I just sort of made it a practice over the past couple years to just post it, do the best that I can, you know, share as authentically as I can, something that I'm excited about or something I'm facing or going through or figuring out. And if it does well, awesome. If it doesn't do well, awesome too. You know, I've done it for myself, kind of first and foremost. It really helps me, and I'm really glad that other people can connect with it too. So I think the biggest thing about making content for me is that I just make sure that I continue doing it. I don't take long breaks, or I don't give myself enough time to get too psyched out about a certain video or whatever. It's not going to be perfect. Okay, post it. So yeah.
That's awesome. And you know, YouTube and everything, you know, has its life, and it's really like a time capsule. Like, as before we started the podcast, like, oh, I think I know Joe, but you know, maybe not everyone, you know, it's your YouTube channel. You post quite a bit of things on it, but you know, what's some of your things you love doing outside of making content in your YouTube channel?
Yeah. Great question. I love, Probably my favorite thing to do is go walking, go hiking. That was one of the big reasons that I kind of made this decision in the first place. I love being outside. I live in Colorado, in Colorado Springs near the mountains, and taking my dogs on a hike or just going on a long drive with my husband, visiting local coffee shops. I've been getting into Ninja Warrior Gym. I'm no good at it, but it's a lot of fun. So kind of playing around with some like Ninja Warrior courses and rock climbing, basically anything that I can do that gets me active and challenges me, brings me a lot of joy. I also love public speaking. There's not been a lot of opportunity for that, considering that seeing people in person is not really recommended at the moment. Public speaking is a huge passion of mine, and it has been since I was a teenager. I love being in front of people and connecting with an audience and sharing a message that I think matters. So yeah, I do art as well. I'm a little bit of an artist. I'm still playing around with it. I paint and draw, there's a lot of things.
Anything behind you? Did you paint?
I did.
Look at that.
Yeah, quite a while ago I did that one. And the wall.
Very cool. And a few earlier, some other episodes we did, we actually interviewed an Ninja Warrior. So he was.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
he is pretty extreme. You know, he's actually came to the United States, is on the TV show and everything. And he is below the knee amputee as well. And
I love that stuff.
He went for it. So he does a lot of obstacle course things and pushing the limits. That's pretty crazy what he does.
That's awesome.
You know, kind of, you're a couple of years into this journey now with the amputation. So I was just wondering, like, some personal hurdles you faced going through that journey, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I think one of the most challenging things for me, I guess there were two. The most challenging thing for me was really recognizing that, like, losing a part of your body, that's something that's worthy of grief. Like, it's a loss, even though it was to make my life better, right? It still comes with a lot of emotion. And over the past couple of years, allowing myself to process that, I meet regularly with a counselor. I'm really grateful to be able to do that, to kind of work through some of my, you know, thoughts and feelings, to not just shove it all down into a dark hole, hoping it'll never emerge again, which I used to do for the first, you know, two decades of my life, but to actively, you know, grieve the loss, grieve the fact that, you know, 13 onward, my life was surgeries and crutches and pain. And I'm really grateful for where I am now, but to be able to kind of feel those emotions was really difficult for me. And I think the second thing is I didn't expect, I kind of thought that, okay, my ankle's the problem. If we cut off my ankle, granted, it's going to be very challenging, but at least that problem will be solved. Turns out that, you know, setbacks and things not going according to plan is very, very common. And I think I went into this, I expected like a huge life change. I expected to like have to adjust to things and, you know, what is wearing clothes with the prosthetic leg? You know, how do I make that work? Or what about stairs? Like I expected that kind of stuff, but I didn't expect like a socket, you know, a prosthetic leg socket that doesn't fit right and makes your leg hurt so much worse, and having to go back for appointments and back for appointments, and having to take time off work for that. I didn't expect, you know, a fall that set me back 8 months. I was on an iWalk and crutches for a long time after I went through the surgery that in my mind was like to end all surgeries, which obviously was a naive way of looking at it. But learning to have patience, and something my dad always used to say is you can do anything temporarily. So keeping in mind in those moments that I'm like, this feels like it has no end, when there weren't any answers, I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew I couldn't walk. I knew that life was a lot more exhausting and difficult than it was before I had my amputation and I still couldn't walk, you know, just reminding myself that this is where things are right now. I'm going to do my darndest to find whatever I can in this period. Don't let myself feel what I need to feel, but, This is temporary. It might be hard right now, but it's temporary and I can find a way to get through it. So I think those are two of the definite struggles and challenges for me, was allowing myself to feel what I needed to feel, and then realizing that it's not going to be a straight line. It rarely is for many people.
Yeah, that's true. That's where, you know, a lot of people see, like, on social media, they see a lot of times, like, they don't see the behind the scenes, how there's a lot of positive things, but also the real life things. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Like, go to your YouTube channel, how you kind of post a lot of that mix of content on there, trying to keep it diverse.
Thank you. That was something that that's been a big goal of mine with all of this, is that you often see like the highlight reels. Like I saw the highlight reels of amputees or people facing some kind of physical challenge or difficulty. And you always realize that there's more that goes into it. Like you hear inspirational speakers talking, you know, like I lost my leg, it was hard, but here I am now. And it's like, you gloss over the it was hard part. Yeah. And it's been really important to me to be like, no, this is rough. Like it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like it's challenging. You can get through it. Like I'll figure out a way through it. But I think it's important to be real too, and not just focus on like the everything's great now, because sometimes it isn't. That's life, you know? Yeah.
So with that, you know, kind of going into it, and what's kind of been some, you know, we like life hacks, you know, what's some tips? So since, you know, what's been kind of some fun, something that's outside your, you know, like a running leg or the actual device, but what kind of life hack have you kind of made over the last 2 years that you like never would have imagined creating to kind of be more adaptive to what your everyday life?
Oh, good question. Let me think on that for a moment, because I feel like there are a million little things that I've done to adapt. Our house is definitely not amputee friendly. It's tri-level. So there's a lot of stairs. Using an eye walk definitely helped, but that's less of a hack and more of just that it was a really effective walking crutch to use. You know, I don't know. It's definitely been interesting, all the ways that you have to figure out a new way to do things. Mm-hmm. And it might seem daunting at first, but then you figure it out. Like one thing, maybe we can call this a life hack. I drink a lot of water. I live in Colorado. It's super dry here. I like to try to stay hydrated. And our kitchen is on the middle level. So if I'm upstairs in my office working, or if I'm downstairs in the living room just chilling, I have to make it up a flight of stairs or down a flight of stairs to get anything to drink or eat. And so we ended up finding just like a cheap like college fridge that I keep filtered water in downstairs, so that I don't have to like get my leg on and get up the stairs every time I want something. Those things that lessen the amount of energy that I have to spend in a day are just absolutely vital. I also, again, Colorado, it's pretty cold. I haven't quite found out a way to not wear just shorts all the time, but I've realized that, I pretty much exist in athletic shorts just because it's so much easier for like taking your leg on and off and things like that. That's what I'm still actively working on.
Yeah, and those are good ones, you know, keeping the fridge in different spots so you can kind of go through. And I see behind you, you have, I think, a YouTube award.
I do, yes.
Tell us about that, you know, and how long, you know, you've been doing the YouTube channel, sounds like 2 years now, is that correct?
Yeah, just over, yeah.
So how have you kind of been going out growing? What's been, you know, because it's kind of daunting to a lot of people, like, how do you grow a YouTube channel? So how have you kind of been kind of grow, like, started, you know, you kind of said how you started, but how's kind of been the method that you've kind of been using to grow the channel to really expand the reach and whatnot?
Yeah, so at 100,000 subscribers, YouTube will, if your channel qualifies as a decent channel, like if you have 100,000 subscribers and you're not just stealing other people's content, they'll send you this plaque, which is pretty cool. It's definitely nothing. It's nothing I would ever have expected, because I didn't start videos with the intention of like growing on YouTube. It's definitely become a focus as I've gone along, because I'm like, oh, this is really fun. It's really cool to focus on and like figure out what works and what doesn't, and what people like and what they don't. But the idea initially was just to share, and that is still the core of what I'm doing, is sharing and connecting with people and trying to build a community. But for the first couple months of having this channel, the growth was a lot faster than I expected, but pretty slow. You know, it was like a couple thousand subscribers, which was amazing. But then YouTube will sometimes recommend your videos, and it's pretty random and you can't predict it, and there's nothing you can do to make them pick you. It's just the algorithm. Yeah. And I had a couple videos that started going out to hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And so a number of news stations and magazines like People Magazine or Fox News or whoever reached out to me to want to do stories about the fact that I gave my foot a goodbye party. Like that was one of the videos I did to kind of bid it like thank you and goodbye. You know, it was like breaking up with my ankle. So that definitely helped. And I think I've always tried, it's difficult for me to balance like wanting to do well on YouTube, because it is a major source of my income. It's, you know, it's a very serious job that I really, really enjoy, but balancing that with what I want to share is not always what's going to do well. It's not always going to do well with the algorithm. And I have done this long enough to know that, like, okay, if I talk about this thing that I think is really important to me or I think people need to hear, I know that it's not going to, you know, reach 100,000 people. I know it's just going to reach some of my audience, and that's okay. So balancing, figuring out what videos do well, like lists do well, like, you know, five bizarre things I learned about amputation or, you know, stuff like that. I really enjoy those, but I balance that out with what I really also want to be speaking about. And so it's an interesting process to learn about the algorithm and what works and what doesn't. And you think you have it figured out, and then they switch something. So it always keeps you on your toes.
Good. And with that, you know, what's kind of, you know, before you did your amputation, you know, that's a big life decision. So what kind of resources did you use to kind of, like, did you go online researching or talk to groups, or what kind of resources kind of helped you along the way to just kind of get more involved in the community outside, you know, to kind of be educated on your decisions that you've been making?
Yeah. So finding resources was a big thing for me, because I realized going into this that there's no way you can ask or answer all of the questions that are going to come up. Like there's only so much you know to research. And so I was looking into as many stories as I could, doing a lot of Googling, trying to find videos about it. That's another reason why I continue to make the content that I make, because it wasn't there when I wanted it. Like the kinds of videos that I was looking for, and more like the whole journey and the real story of it, I didn't at that time find anything like that. So I wanted to fill that void. But so yeah, YouTube videos, Googling, forums. But the biggest thing for me was joining a Facebook group for amputees. They were kind enough to accept me before I was one. Mm-hmm. And a stipulation that my husband requested that I look into before making the decision. He's been super, super incredibly supportive, but was really hesitant. Yeah. When I started trying to make this decision, understandably so. He was like, you found a lot of stories of people where this went well, right? Where it was like a good thing for their life, you know, part of their body was so damaged or diseased or whatever that it needed to go. And they're happy now. But he was saying, you know, I guarantee you there are also stories where it didn't go well. And I need you to find some of those stories too, because I need you to see not just rose colored glasses. Cause it's easy to think, like I said, I get rid of my ankle, I get rid of the problem, everything's yeah. good, but that's not how it works. And so I did that. In that forum, I really respectfully asked if there is anyone who wants to talk, who's willing to talk, that this hasn't gone according to plan, or, you know, you're really struggling or having a difficult time. I'd love to hear your story, because I'm trying to make this decision and I want to hear both sides of it. A couple people were kind enough to share what they were going through. And so trying to balance those two things, because I find it, I mean, everyone goes into things with a bias, right? So as I'm searching for stories, I'm not searching for like disaster stories. I'm searching for like, well, who did it work for? And like, what went well? And you know, the positive side of it, but rose colored glasses are hard to take off, but it's important to do that. So that was definitely a gift, and really grateful to those people for being willing to speak to me. I have found that the amputee community is fantastically supportive of one another for the most part. And it's pretty cool to see. It's great to be a part of a community that's generally really caring and uplifting.
That's awesome. You know, that's what, you know, that's the whole goal of our podcast, is to really bring people. And just, the whole idea is if we can get one person to really learn one little nugget, and that would be a nugget that's positive, but these are conversations, you know, they can take a negative thing or other, you know, for example, you like saying, you know, you thought you kind of under the whole Eric getting the socket and making the good fit, you know, and going through all adjustments, you know, the things that you may not find online very easily when you start looking online, say, oh, you know, how many, but then you start learning a lot of people have tons of sockets they go through.
Yeah, seriously.
And then all the different, things that go around getting that fit. And then as you become more active and things like that, your leg volume changes, all that stuff. Yeah. So it's a big component.
The whole world. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly.
So with that, you know, public speaking, you mentioned, was one of your big things. And I was wondering, now, since you, have you been going out doing many online speaking things or with the community, or how's that been going?
Yeah, so that's not something I've spent a lot of time pursuing. As soon as The pandemic hit, obviously not a whole lot of public speaking would take place. I got really sick for a few months. And so I was focusing on like just getting the work done that I need to get done, keeping my channel going, because it's a huge source of joy in my life and not anything I wanted to just kind of go away. So recently though, I've cut back a lot on the job that I have to be able to focus more on my health and on what I'm doing with social media. And so that's at the top of my list that I would love to. I really love public speaking. I've been a part of Toastmasters. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a public speaking club. I was nerdy enough that I was the president for a year here in Colorado Springs. And it's just fun. It's very challenging and frightening in a good way, you know?
Yes, something I need to reflect with. I don't like speaking. I run a podcast, but who would have think? I'm a speaker.
So. Isn't that funny? I mean, like this is just like a conversation versus a bunch of eyes on you. You know.
So, you know, with all the episodes you've done, what's been what do you call your posts? Your videos?
Videos, episodes. I like episodes. It sounds cooler.
Yeah, but episodes, videos. So out of them, what's one video that you like? That you posted and you like, and you got a response that like, whoa, I was not expecting that to happen.
That's a great question. The one that jumps to mind is I think it's like a 4-minute video. And usually shorter videos don't do as well on YouTube because they prefer that people, you know, watch it longer, so on and so forth. But I did a video of going back to visit the field where I fell off the horse, where I shattered my ankle, where it all began. And this was like, I don't know, maybe six or 8 months after my amputation. And so going back to the place that at 13, this all began, we didn't break in. I think it was technically legal that we were there, but it was hard to get to. A buddy of mine came along with like his drone to film. And it was the first video I'd ever done where I'm like, I want this to feel a certain way. Cause usually I'm just, I'm telling a story or like going to the prosthetics office and talking about what's happening there or, you know, talking about this, but to have like a bunch of different shots that I put together and trying to make it like cool and make someone feel what I was feeling. I didn't expect it to do well at all. Cause I'm like, this is an interesting video to me, but you know, who knows? I was hoping against hope that the algorithm would deem it worthy to be seen by people. And it did. Probably a month after I posted it, it blew up. And again, went up to like quite a few people, like hundreds of thousands of people. And the response was really great to see. People are interesting on the internet, but the response was largely really positive. And that was fun to see because it was a different kind of creative endeavor for me. And I was like, I like this. I like sort of I want to put this in quotes, but like the filmmaking aspect of this, it's awesome. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I see that you had drone shot. It was a cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And then how about, you know, TikTok. TikTok has been around for a while, but now everyone's talking about it. Mainstream. So are you even doing many TikTok videos?
Yes, I have. I started it back last December when most of what I knew about TikTok was people made fun of it. But I was like, but a lot of people were like, there might be something here. You know, you might want to get started on it. I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And I kind of got on it as a joke. Right. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is actually really fun. This is really cool. And so I started making some videos and it's just, I honestly really like it. I really enjoy it. I have like the largest audience that I have is on there, which is bizarre to me because the videos that I make there that's like my stress-free creative outlet because videos are just 15 or 60 seconds. It's never that complex. You know, it's easy to make in just a few minutes as opposed to having like film a YouTube video and edit it and add music and then transitions and like all of that. But TikTok has just been a blast. So I'll do, you know, just silly videos or educational or, you know, talking again about whatever matters to me, whatever I think people would like to hear. So I think it's a great platform. And I found it to be really, other people have very different experiences, but I found it to be incredibly supportive. And I think it's great too, because the audience on TikTok is a lot younger, generally speaking. And so to be able to kind of get a message of like, hey, you know, I'm an amputee, ask me questions. You know, this is nothing to be scared of. It's okay. It's okay if you ask me the thing that's on your mind. I'd love to answer it for you and kind of hopefully breaking down some of the stigma that maybe younger people could be growing up with. Because I know I did. I definitely didn't hear much about people with disabilities or people who were that different than me than I was when I was like 14, 15. So it's just, it's a great app. I think it's fun. I mean, there are obviously concerns with it, but I really enjoy it.
That's awesome. Have you ever heard of Bionic Man?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah.
So we just got, he was on a podcast recently.
That's awesome.
The Bionic Man. He was on the podcast and it was incredible because he goes through and you guys should, if you guys don't talk, you guys should connect.
Yeah, but, seriously.
You know, he's, that's one of the main things is going into a lot of, before COVID, it was going into schools and just really breaking the stigmas on people asking questions. And the Bionic Man concept is cool because it changes the mindset. A lot of these children now see themselves as Bionic Man. So someone says something to them that kids are mean, you know, they don't understand what they're saying because they're younger and they don't realize it may hurt someone, but they say stuff. And it's kind of crazy to hear his story, how they, these kids are going through and actually going up to these other children and saying, no, I'm Bionic Man. I'm a superhero.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, that's like, what an awesome result to have.
But cool, getting towards the end here, you know, it's been really awesome podcast, really your story and how you've been kind of taking it and being very creative on YouTube and expanding the reach of what the whole community of what can kind of show the positives, the fun side, but also the whole mental health side. So I was wondering, is there any kind of question that, you know, I didn't ask that we should have talked about?
Sure. I think we covered a lot of it. And like I said, I really love being able to be a part of what you're doing here. I think the one thing that I would share is I think there's such power in sharing our stories, like regardless of who you are, your story is worth and value. And I love being a part of podcasts that, you know, showcase different people and other people tell their stories. And that's just really important. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing here.
That's awesome. So can you just let the audience know how they can find and connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So on pretty much any social media platform, you can find me under Footless Joe. That's J-O, not J-O-E. So YouTube is where I spend the majority of my time, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I'm starting to look into Twitch too, because that could be pretty fun. Yeah, so that's where you can find me. I'd love to see you there.
Cool. Well, Jill, thank you for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
A good one. Bye.
Goodbye.